Om Gana Timanandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. In the presence of countless wonderful Vaishnavs, and especially in the presence of senior Vaishnavs, Maharaj Prabhu's Matajis, and in the presence of Sri Govardhan, we will attempt to speak something about Govardhan Leela. As we tour Sri Vrindavan Dham, we should always remember that we are attempting to experience Vrindavan through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We are not approaching Krishna directly. We are approaching Krishna, of course, through parampara, and that parampara includes Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Without Lord Chaitanya, what can anyone in the age of Kali understand about Krishna and his pastimes? We must always remember that Lord Chaitanya, the Panchatattva, they're not just add-ons, that maybe an ornament that is added on to Krishna and his pastimes. We are following in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya, and therefore we have the possibility of knowing and loving Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself visited Govardhan. At the Haridev temple, he displayed ecstatic symptoms of dancing and ecstasy. He took lunch at Brahma Kund. He bathed in the various kunds at the foot of Govardhan Hill. But as you know, he never walked on Govardhan Hill, considering that he's a devotee, and Govardhan Hill is Krishna. And you know how the Gopal deity schemed to come down from Govardhan Hill to where Lord Chaitanya could see him. And Sri Gopal did the same thing for Rupa, Sanatan Goswamis, and a host of extraordinary Vaishnavas. We can appreciate the significance of Govardhan by remembering Lord Chaitanya's Leela at Jagannath Puri. Walking on the beach, suddenly Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw a sand dune that he mistook as Giri Govardhan. And he began running towards the Tataka Parvat at the speed of wind. All the assembled Vaishnavas gave out a loud shout and ran after him, trying to catch him. The list of those Vaishnavas who ran after Lord Chaitanya as he ran after the Tataka Parvat bestow eternal fame and celebrity. Just by their running after Lord Chaitanya, they achieved immortal fame. Right before he reached the sand dune, the Chataka Parvat, suddenly Lord Chaitanya stopped in his tracks, stunned with ecstatic symptoms. And then, tottering, he collapsed to the ground. By the time the devotees caught up with him, they saw Lord Chaitanya manifesting all eight ecstatic symptoms. Such ecstatic symptoms that seem so painful, the devotees began to cry. This is the mystery of pure love of Krishna. It seems externally to be the greatest pain, although it's the highest ecstasy. As His Holiness Keshava Bharati Maharaj loves to point out, in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, the example is given of ice so cold that it burns. How can ice burn? Ice is literally ice cold. But it's so cold it seems to burn like fire. Similarly, separation from Krishna is the greatest ecstasy, but it seems to be burning. It seems to be burning with pain. Prem Agni, the fire of pure love of Krishna. Devotees tried to revive Lord Chaitanya by fanning him, by making kirtan. Suddenly, Lord Chaitanya came to partial consciousness. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifests his awareness in three states, internal, external, and partial, in between the both. speaking in partial, in between internal, external consciousness. He inquired, where am I? What's happening? What's going on around me? He looked to Srup Damodar, his personal secretary, for an explanation. Lord Chaitanya began to explain, while still not fully in external awareness. I was wandering at the foot of Govardhan Hill, and I heard the sound of Krishna's flute. I saw Krishna, his cowherd boys, and the cows come nearby. Then I saw Krishna and Srimati Radharani enter a cave at Govardhan Hill. I was given the task to pick flowers for the divine couple. Suddenly I hear this loud sound, and now I'm back here with you all. Where is Krishna? I had the opportunity to be in Krishna's Leela. Now that opportunity is gone. Now the question is, was it a mistake that Lord Chaitanya considered the sand dune to be Govardhan Hill? You see, in ecstatic love of Krishna, there's no mistake. The reality is that everything reminds one of Krishna. That is not a superimposition upon so-called reality. Lord Chaitanya is demonstrating the peak of the real world, real existence. Those attached to external vision see the material world as so important, and spiritual life is an add-on, a little ornament attached to the material world. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, such persons are called Bahirmukha Jana. They see everything externally, and they're so attached to that vision. Let us make sure that we are not affected by such consciousness. Oh, here we have the material world, and then superimposed upon normal material existence are these ecstatic pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya made a mistake. He disregarded the real world, and he was lost in some kind of dream, thinking Chattakaparvat was Govardhan Hill. Actually, Lord Chaitanya is demonstrating the real world, the topmost real world. Wherever he looks, wherever he smells, whatever he hears, immediately reminds him of Krishna, and so therefore he's actually seeing Krishna. This is the essence of all existence. But there's always some difficulty on the part of ordinary souls to understand the Lord and his pastimes. To understand Govardhan Leela, you have to begin with the Leela preceding that. Krishna is approaching the Yajna Brahmanas for food. Here you can see the beginning of Krishna's sporting in Vrindavan and at the same time coping with external vision. You know how the cowherd boys approached Krishna and Balaram. We're hungry. Please, you killed so many demons. Do something about our hunger. Please destroy the demon of hunger that's attacking us. Were the cowherd boys being selfish, presenting to Krishna something for their own satisfaction? No, they were saying, we are hungry, letting Krishna know, you should be hungry. It's time for you to eat. That's the nature of friendship. So, you know how Krishna instructed them. Go nearby. There are some brahmanas performing yajnas. Ask for food, and then come back. The cowherd boys joyfully took Krishna's order on their head, and they went and approached the brahmanas. They made their request and didn't even get an answer. Why is that? First of all, the brahmanas were so busy in their rituals for going to the heavenly planets. Secondly, the brahmanas considered Krishna an ordinary person. Who is troubling our precious yajnas with a request to give food to an ordinary person? These boys are not even worth an answer. The cowherd boys had been so submissive, paying full dandavats on the ground. Oh, Bhumideva, oh, earthly gods, we have a request. Yet they were totally ignored. Kavi Karnapur describes that when the cowherd boys returned to Krishna, they were sad, they were discouraged. They presented to Krishna, what happened? We were totally rejected. We didn't even get an answer. Krishna just mildly smiled. You know, that's the way of begging. Sometimes you get, sometimes you don't get. The cowherd boys turned to Balaram. They presented the same situation. We failed in getting food for Krishna. What do we make of this? Krishna and Balaram explained to the cowherd boys, don't be down. These brahmanas, they only see externally. we'll give you another way to remedy the situation. So I want you to remember now the apparent sadness and feeling of rejection that the cowherd boys have, because we're going to compare that to Indra's feeling of depression leading to anger. Of course, the cowherd boys are not materially affected. This is all part of their ecstatic Leela with Krishna. But Indra is going to have a real problem. And just like the yogic brahmanas, Indra is also temporarily going to make the mistake of thinking Krishna is an ordinary person. So just as Krishna did in the Leela with the yogic brahmanas, he'll also do with Indra. He's going to establish clearly the principle of pure bhakti as opposed to rituals and worship of the demigods. He sends the cowherd boys to the wives of the brahmanas. As soon as the cowherd boys make their preliminary presentation, there's an extraordinary result. Krishna and Balaram are nearby. Immediately, the ladies went into ecstatic trance just by hearing the holy name of Krishna. That holy name reverberated in their consciousness. Meanwhile, the cowherd boys are going on with their presentation. Please listen. Krishna and Balaram are nearby. We're all hungry. We came to ask for some food. But the ladies are totally in trance, and they know it, and they're cursing their ecstatic trance. What are we doing? Feeling ecstasy. I've got to get out of trance. Krishna and Balaram are hungry. Let me shake off this ecstasy. Just see how service champions over everything, even ecstatic trances. So you know how that pastime ended. The brahmanas ended up condemning themselves. We're just seeing everything externally. We didn't recognize Krishna. The hell with our being born as brahmanas. The hell of our being initiated into yogic ceremonies. The hell with our being initiated into Gayatri mantra. Look at our wives. They are actually the gurus of our home. They recognize Krishna, we didn't. Now, obviously Krishna was deceiving us, appearing like an ordinary person. But actually Krishna wasn't deceiving them. It was their own material consciousness that deceived them. Even after the brahmanas came to the siddhanta that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even after they resolved, let's go see Krishna, they still couldn't do it. They were thinking, if we go to see Krishna, Kamsa's spies may tell him, and then he'll kill us. Better not do it. But their wives had no such fear. In any case, at least the supremacy of bhakti over ritualistic ceremonies and demigod worship was established. Now hear the connection to Govardhan Leela even more. In that same area of Braj where the pastime with the yogya brahmanas and their wives took place, that is where Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd men had gathered to discuss doing the Indra Puja. Krishna had lingered there for a while, and then he notices Nanda Maharaj and the elder cowherd men are starting some kind of yajna by gathering materials. Krishna knows everything. He knows what they're doing, but he wants to take advantage of this yajna to establish again the principle of pure bhakti. So that's why Krishna feigns ignorance and asks, what's all this going on? What kind of puja, what kind of yajna is this? Kavi Karnapur describes, at that point, Nanda Maharaj took Krishna on his lap and began to affectionately explain that this is over your head, but anyway, this is why we're doing what we're doing. You know all the word jugglery that Krishna presented when Nanda Maharaj explained why we have to do this Indra Puja. Why did you have to do this Indra Puja? It's not necessary. Everything comes because of your karma, or everything comes because of your conditioned nature, or everything comes because of the three modes of material nature. So why do we have to worship Indra? It's useless. Just do your duty, do your activities, the result automatically comes. Krishna is causing trouble. So we should be curious. What is his motivation? Why is he causing such a commotion? Even speaking bogus philosophy. We could go into a long discussion about how modern society has taken that bogus philosophy recited by Krishna and made it their gospel. I'll give you a brief explanation. How do you get good qualities in society? How is it that people will be kind to one another, considerate of one another, intolerant, tatikshava karanika suhira sarvadehinam. How do you get all those jewels of saintly behavior in society? Make money, let there be economic growth, and then all goodness follows. This is a popular theory called the economic necessity of, the moral necessity of economic growth. Unless there's money, how are people going to be nice to one another? You can study history, such persons claim, and you'll see when there's money, everyone's nice and tolerant and sweet. And as soon as the money disappears, people become angry, they become violent, inconsiderate, intolerant. So in order for there to be good qualities in society, first, money. You don't need religion, you just need money. When there's money, there are good qualities. So you see, modern society has taken Krishna's word jugglery and made it totally debased. Krishna has deep reasons for provoking Indra's anger. He wants to clearly establish that Krishna consciousness is the immediate and ultimate solution. It's not some pie-in-the-sky dream that has no effect on the practical world. So what were Krishna's three purposes in making Indra angry? Number one, to break his pride. Number two, to initiate the Govardhan Puja celebration. And number three, to spend 7 ecstatic days with his Brijbasis, gazing at one another as Krishna helped Govardhan Hill. So Krishna gave the instruction, drop everything, don't use anything to worship Indra, use it to worship Govardhan Hill. Krishna said, what do we know about distant demigods? What do they do for us? All we know is green grass for the cows here at Govardhan Hill. This is Krishna's equivalent of the Age of Kali philosophy of be here now. That's all you should focus on. So Krishna told the Brijbasis, let's be here now. We're at Govardhan Hill. That's all we should focus on. Indra, where is he? Who cares about him? Focus on the present moment, the present situation. Brijbasis, go with the flow. Govardhan Hill's right here. So, captivated by Krishna's sweet words, that's what Nanda Maharaj ordered the Brijbasis to do. They gathered a huge feast. Mountains of prasad. The mountains of prasad looked golden because so much ghee was flowing down the sides. And then everyone circumambulated Govardhan Hill. A huge festival of music and dancing. Krishna's a festival man. It's like Our Holiness Indradyumna Maharaj. Music, dancing, prasad. The atmosphere was so festive that the young gopis began publicly singing about their intimate pastimes with Krishna. Usually they would never do such a thing, but everyone was just lost in the celebration. Then what does Krishna do? He assumes a form on top of Govardhan Hill. He tells the cowherd people, look, look, Govardhan Hill is so pleased by your pure devotion that a special form has appeared on top of the hill. In other words, I wonder who that form could be. Look, amazing, isn't it? Shining like thousands of suns. Let's look at the limbs that study all parts of the body. Isn't this extraordinary? How fortunate you are to have worshipped Govardhan Hill with such pure love. Now let us all offer obeisances to Govardhan Hill and this beautiful form on top. So in this way, Krishna led the Brijbasis in offering obeisances to himself. Krishna wanted to firmly establish that he is non-different from Govardhan Hill. All right, celebration finished. Everyone goes back to the village. But things have just begun. Indra, what's going on with him? He's got some major problems. His main problem is something that we all share in. That's why we're in the material world. Ishamana, I think I am the supreme controller. Of course, that's Indra. It never applies to us. We're nice, pious believers in God who have never been affected by the desire to be the controller. But while we're hearing about Indra's huge problem, let's also put ourselves in his place. Kavi Karnapur gives the details about Indra's trip that he's going through. Not simply sadness, but dejection, depression. My worship, my puja. What happened? How can I be so minimized? Have you ever felt like that? Never, I know. I'm being neglected. Where's my attention? No one notices me. This is all Ishramana. Of course, we want to appreciate devotees. Nevertheless, in our spiritual life, sometimes we get to points in which we think that we're being neglected, no one's paying attention to us, and sometimes we may even cause a disturbance because of it. Unfortunately, sometimes we may resort to sort of materialistic behavior by retaliating. I'll show them what a real devotee is. The problem in this temple is no one listens to me. They don't know, these neophytes, what real bhakti is. Because they didn't listen to my advice, just watch what happens. So Indra first was depressed, and then his anger began to consume him. What is going on in Vrindavan? These fools, what are they doing? Bewildered, illusioned by prosperity. They have forgotten they're just ordinary forest dwellers. Aho Sri Mata Mahatmyam. Just see the extent of their madness brought about by opulence, by Sri. Gopanam Kananalkasam. They're just forest people. They're just cowherds. What is their main problem? Indra says this twice in a few verses. Krishna Marcham Upasracha. They have taken shelter of an ordinary person named Krishna. That is his Siddhanta. Not that he's an atheist, but he cannot believe that this little blue boy in Vrindavan who took away his puja, he can't believe that is the Supreme Absolute Truth. This is what pride and anger do to you. You become totally blind. Indra continued his tirade against Krishna and the Brijabasis. Bachalam Balisham Stabdam. This Krishna, he's talkative. He's just a child. He is so arrogant. Agyam Pandita Maninam. He's ignorant, yet he thinks he's so intelligent. Again, Krishna Marcham Upasracha. These cowherd people have taken shelter of an ordinary person. Gopame Chakra Apriyam. In this way, they have offended me. How can it be that Krishna is talkative? In English, we say chatterbox. What do they say in Russian? Chatterboxes. How can that be? How can that be that Krishna is childish? How can he be arrogant? Actually, devotees hear Indra's accusations as words of praise. Vachalam, how is Krishna talkative? He only speaks the words of the Vedas. Balisham, how is he childish? He speaks without any pretension, just like a child. How is he arrogant? Stubdom. Indra accused he's arrogant because he didn't listen to his father, Nanda Maharaj. But the devotees know the real meaning of stubda. Krishna's not arrogant, it's just there's no one for him to bow down to. He's the supreme. How is Krishna ignorant? The devotees know he's ignorant because he knows everything. He doesn't have to study anything. How is it that Krishna is thinking himself so learned? The devotees know Krishna doesn't think that, but all the topmost sages who glorify him know that. What about Krishna Marcham Upasracha? Indra's accusation, they've taken shelter of an ordinary person named Krishna. First of all, the devotees know when Indra says Krishna, he's actually meaning the Supreme Absolute Truth. Krishna Marcham Upasracha means the Supreme Absolute Truth comes to this world and displays his Naralila, his human-like pastimes, which can look ordinary. Indra had a problem, so overwhelmed by pious activities and heavenly planet's lifestyle, he lost sight of Krishna and considered Krishna to be an ordinary person. His anger increased and increased so much he decided, let me take shelter of the special clouds meant for cosmic annihilation. Sambhartika, clouds of annihilation, please come. I have an easy task for you. Usually I call upon you to destroy the whole cosmos, but today we're just going to... Today our mission is just a tiny village named Vrindavan. You can just see the clouds saying... How do you say in Russian? No problem. Insignificant cowherd village. We usually knock out the whole universe. Tell us where to go, when to go, what to do. Kavi Kanapur says the clouds were proud to get such an assignment. And to encourage them to fire them up even more, Indra said, I'm going with you. What happened next? All of a sudden, all of Vrindavan was covered by thick clouds, blocking all sunlight. You couldn't see anything. But there was still light in Vrindavan. Where was the light coming from? Although the clouds had completely blocked the sky, made everything pitch dark, the light came from the rays from Krishna's jewel-like toenails. So still everyone could see. That was just the beginning, the total cloud cover bringing darkness. Next, one extraordinary cloud after another arrived in the sky. That's along with the thick paste that had already covered the sky. And then, you know, the rain that began to fall, the winds that began to blow, the hail that came down, apparently producing such suffering in the Brijbasis and the cows. Please understand, though, that actually the Brijbasis and the cows were not experiencing ordinary material distress. They were actually feeling the ecstasy of Krishna's Leela. The Acharyas describe that it's like before you have a big feast, first you feel hunger pangs. So before they would be with Krishna under Govardhan Hill, staring in each other's eyes, first, before that feast, a few hunger pangs. There's no material distress in Vrindavan, except experienced by those in material consciousness. So to our vision, it looks like so much suffering. Freezing rain, wind, and hail. But this is all part of Krishna Leela. They appeal to Krishna. Krishna, please save us. Please save the cows. Krishna consulted his own mission statement, why he is present in Bhauma Leela. I have an eternal vow to protect not only my home, but all devotees. Vrindavan is my home. It's the place of my mother, my father, my brother. Certainly, I must do something. The Acharyas point out that Krishna's thinking, I protect all devotees, even from cosmic annihilation. Why shouldn't I protect Vrindavan? Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill. Now, what was actually going on under Govardhan Hill? You might think it's the situation, the scene is like, you know, after there's been an earthquake and there's all kinds of relief facilities being quickly established. Emergency clinics, first aid tents, food relief tents, piles of blankets being given out freely to keep people warm. Oh, wait till you hear what underneath Govardhan Hill was like. Krishna made it more opulent than the heavenly planets. There were lush fields of barley and green grass for the cows. Everything was luxurious. Krishna held Govardhan Hill for 7 days. No one felt any inconvenience. They forgot all hunger and thirst, just staring at Krishna's face. Have you ever seen anyone that beautiful that for 7 days you forget your hunger and thirst? And you thought there was beauty in the material world? Try it. Pick out the person you think is most beautiful. And try to stare in their face for 7 days, forgetting all hunger and thirst. Then you will see the truth of material reality. While they're staring at Krishna, each person is feeling Krishna's looking directly at me. No one feels left out in real Krishna consciousness. At festivals, I often speak about the theme of how devotees sometimes think Krishna will ignore me, he'll neglect me, he won't notice me. Everyone under Govardhan Hill felt Krishna's looking directly at me. Would you have gone under Govardhan Hill? Or would you have been very scientific? Let's look at the external facts. 7-year-old boy, huge mountain. Somehow the mountain is held in the air, and he's saying, come under, don't worry. What would you have done? Be honest. Krishna even told him, forget about your personal possessions out in the village. Forget about your scene out in the village. Just come under the hill. What would you have said? Well, first, Krista, let me have a peek at the heavenly luxuries under the hill, and then I'll make up my mind. What kind of facilities are there? But the Vrijbasis are simple in pure love of Krishna. There was no material calculation. Okay, we give up our homes and our possessions, and we go under the hill. What's it going to be like? They were just captivated by Krishna's words. That is real spiritual life. Krishna says, and we follow. He says in Bhagavad Gita, surrender to me. So the devotee surrenders to Krishna. We analyze any impediments that are blocking our acceptance of Krishna's words. But the Vrijbasis had no such impediments. So now there they are under the hill with Krishna, staring at him. Just like they forgot all personal consideration, so did Krishna. Krishna is simply staring back at his devotees and thinking of them. Underneath Govardhan Hill is the ultimate devotee care program. Everyone is staring at Krishna. Krishna is staring at everyone. They forgot all about hunger, thirst, or any other so-called practical consideration. The real practical consideration is, look at Krishna's face. That is practicality. They had 7 days to study every part of Krishna's transcendental form. This is the main reason why Krishna made Indra angry. Not simply to break his pride, but to give the Vrijbasis a chance to stare at him so intimately for 7 days. Underneath the hill, there were various rasas manifesting. Could Krishna really hold up the hill? Krishna started perspiring. The cowherd men, they immediately knew what to do. Krishna's perspiring underneath the burden. Why was Krishna perspiring? He was looking at a certain gopi. Meanwhile, the cowherd men, they have their sticks, and they're holding up, they think, Govardhan Hill. Why not? Krishna's perspiring. He obviously needs some help. They didn't understand what was causing the perspiration. They didn't really know where Krishna's eyes were wandering. Balaram was watching the whole thing. Krishna saw, Balaram must know my secret. So Krishna was a little embarrassed. Marumangal, Krishna's intimate friend. Krishna, Krishna, just let me hold the hill for a while. I'll put up my golden stick, and that will support Govardhan Hill. Krishna started to play his flute. Left hand holding up the hill. Right hand playing the flute. This is the supreme enjoyer. What does Manamangal say? Krishna, be careful, be careful. Your flute playing will cause the hill to tremble. Please, please, stop playing the flute. Others pointed out, no, Govardhan is very grave. It will remain immovable. Mother Yashoda has some concerns. She sees a Krishna that others don't see who are not in Vatsalya Prem. Oh, Krishna, look at you. You're becoming fatigued. I see you're becoming tired. Something must be done about this. Oh, Govardhan Hill, I pray to you. If I have done any pious activities, please become light as a feather. Krishna must be hungry. Krishna, I would love to feed you some nice yogurt with thick skin on top and some beautiful sweet cakes. But how can I do that? You have the flute in your right hand and the left hand you're holding up Govardhan Hill. At that point, Madhumangal speaks up. Krishna, this sounds like a good idea. Sweet cakes, yogurt with thick skin on top. I'm hungry too. So Krishna agrees to put down his flute, and he eats what Mother Yashoda has to offer. Mother Yashoda's vision was that Krishna is laboring under carrying such a burden. But what was Krishna's version? It was different from his mother's. What did Krishna tell his mother? Actually, I'm not holding up Govardhan Hill. Govardhan Hill, of its own accord, has become light as a feather, and therefore, it's Govardhan Hill that's the doer, not me. Mother Yashoda wanted proof of that. Okay, Krishna, you say that you're not holding up Govardhan Hill. Govardhan Hill is just holding itself up, and it happens to look like Show where that hill's resting on your finger. What is the proof? The proof will be if Govardhan Hill suddenly flies off of your finger and starts soaring through the air. Then I'll believe it. Mata Mangal has something to say about that. Mother, mother, what is all this anxiety? Everyone knows that Govardhan Hill is held up by the power of my mantras. In this way, 7 days of intense loving exchanges went on. Just like in real village life, the Brijbasis clustered in appropriate groups under Govardhan Hill. The daughters associated with their mothers. The men hung out with the men. The unmarried gopi girls were sort of close to their mothers. But everyone is looking at Krishna. After 7 days of apparently hellish annihilation, when actually the Brijbasis are enjoying like never before. His eyes are going where they normally go. His favorite devotee realizes that and covers her face with a veil while simultaneously shooting a secret glance at Krishna. What's happening with Indra and his cosmic forces? The Samvartika cloud force is giving everything they have. They're becoming fatigued. Literally, they're becoming out of wind. They've lost their breath. They've blown and blown and rained and hailed. No effect. No mudslides down the Govardhan Hill. Govardhan Hill was not affected even on the surface. No flooded land around Govardhan Hill because by Krishna's yoga maya potency, he made it that as soon as the rain drops would hit the ground, they'd dry up. And Krishna had made an arrangement, he explained to the Brijbasis, that big clumps of dirt would fall off Govardhan Hill and automatically form a wall around the perimeter of Govardhan Hill. You see, underneath Govardhan Hill was like a valley created by Krishna's lifting Govardhan Hill. So Krishna had arranged that big clumps of dirt would fall off Govardhan Hill onto the edge of the valley and form a protective wall. Inside that wall was heavenly luxury. And of course, the foremost luxury was staring into Krishna's face. And for Krishna, the foremost luxury was staring at the forms of certain girls of Vrindavan. All this enjoyment is going on in Govardhan Valley, underneath the hill. Meanwhile, the Samvartika clouds are practically killing themselves. Finally, Indra called the whole attack off. The sun began shining again. The weather was completely peaceful. Krishna told everyone, now you can leave. You can come out from under Govardhan Hill. Everyone left. But the cows saw that Krishna, he's still holding up the hill. He hasn't left. So the cows went back to be with Krishna. Krishna had to get them to leave so he could put the hill down. This is the love of the Brijbasis for Krishna. Even the cows couldn't leave Krishna under the hill alone. They're more concerned with being with Krishna than getting out from under Govardhan Hill back to their normal pastures. Finally, this celebration that broke out after Govardhan Hill was put back in his place. Everything in Vrindavan happens according to rasa. Actually, everything in the material world happens according to rasa too, but the rasas, as you know, are totally perverted and distorted. Those with a parental feeling for Krishna, they began to smell his head, they began to massage his left hand, crack the joints of his fingers. Such superiors offered Krishna blessings and benedictions. What about those equal to Krishna? Oh, they began to joke with him, laugh with him. And those junior to Krishna, they fell at his feet and massaged his feet. All of Vrindavan was celebrating again. There was the Govardhan Puja celebration, and now there's the coming out from under Govardhan Hill celebration. Again, the celebration was so intense that the gopis didn't have to hide their feelings. All kinds of glances were being exchanged here and there. Then Krishna left for the forest pastures with the cowherd boys and cows. One last thing. suddenly, as Krishna left for the pastures with the cowherd boys and cows, doubts broke out in Vrindavan. The cowherd men started thinking, now that they were out from under Govardhan Hill, who is Krishna? The same thing Indra had thought, but the cowherd men thought a different way. They had the same question differently. They never thought Krishna is an ordinary person. They thought he's our all in all, the life of our life. But they had just seen Krishna hold Govardhan Hill for 7 days. He must be God. They lifted Govardhan Hill for 7 days. That means God. Isn't that clear? What do you think? No, no, it can't be true. We all know the behavior of this 7-year-old boy. He steals butter, he talks endlessly. If he's neglected, he makes a drama. He gets hungry, he gets thirsty. But he lifted Govardhan Hill. This is bewildering. Who is he? He could be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We have to consult Nanda Maharaj. He knows everything. So they went to the assembly house of Nanda Maharaj. Nanda Baba, can you please solve this problem? Who is your son? And then they recited a whole list of Krishna's pastimes since he appeared in this world. He did this with Putana. He did that with Bakasura. He did that with Shakuntasura. Each time they would say, how could an ordinary boy do this? They just repeated this mantra for around 10 verses. How could he? And again, they ended with their conclusion. He lifted Govardhan Hill at 7 years old. So Nanda Maharaj, what is the Siddhanta? Nanda Maharaj said, well, again, I can only refer to what Gargarishi said. And he repeated the same thing he said at Krishna's name-giving ceremony. Gargamuni said, my son would be powerful like Narayan. You see, what were the cowherd men thinking about Krishna whenever he did something extraordinary? What was their previous understanding? First of all, Krishna's amazing achievements were caused because Narayan put some special power in him. Or maybe it was because of the pious activities done by Nanda Maharaj. Or maybe it was because of the blessings of the Brahmanas. But this lifting of Govardhan Hill totally blew their minds. That's why Nanda Maharaj repeated the words of Gargarishi. But what was Nanda Maharaj's conclusion? Don't think the boy is God. The boy is like God. And that's why he said, the boy. He didn't say, my son. Nanda Maharaj, being an expert village statesman, he wanted it clear that we should all have affection for the boy. It's not that simply, he's my son. Let us all love the boy, but don't think he's God. He's invested with power, like Narayan. But he's our boy. The cowherd men were ecstatic to hear that. Jai Nanda Maharaj, Jai Krishna, our village boy. Krishna was away in the forest while all this was going on. And when Krishna and the cowherd boys came back, it was a huge celebration. Again, this is life in Vrindavan. And here we are at the foot of Govardhan Hill. As His Holiness Keshava Bharati Maharaj pointed out, the curtainless darshan, the altar doors never close. And we have a morning of Gopuja and then Govardhan Puja to look forward to. You can remember the Brijbasis when they would circumambulate Govardhan Hill at the first Govardhan Puja. They had their folded palms above their head chanting, Namo, 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 I offer obeisances, as he ecstatically danced around Govardhan Hill. In this way, we will live life. Thank you very much. Bye, sir. Bye, sir. Bye, sir.